At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, everyone, to SI Media with Jimmy Traina. Thanks for listening. We have a great, great pod for you this week. Ian Rappaport from the NFL Network is our guest, followed by our weekly Traina Thoughts segment with Sal Licata. Conversation with Rappaport was great, getting into some NFL draft stuff, his relationship with Schefter, what it's like to constantly have to be on his phone, getting alerts, getting text. Stories he's broken that he loves, mistakes he's made, bunch of things about being an insider for the most popular sport by far in this country. So really, really great stuff from Ian Rappaport. And then Sal Licata joins me for the Traina Thoughts segment, where we get into a bunch of topics from the past week. NBA playoffs, Bill Walton documentary coming up. Reaction to a couple of mistakes that were made on TV in the recent weeks, and we get into Twitter stuff. So all good stuff on this episode. Before we get to it, just quickly, if you missed any recent episodes, go into the archives, check them out. Rich Eisen from the NFL Network was on last week. Author, journalist, reporter Jim Miller was on 2 weeks ago. Jim Nance, 3 weeks ago. Andrew Marchand of the New York Post, 4 weeks ago. So go into the archives, check them out. Subscribe to the pod, rate and review. We will definitely read reviews next week on the pod. I believe Mike Breen will be on the podcast as well next week, so that should be great. All right, Ian Rappaport from the NFL Network, followed by Traina Thoughts with Sal Licata, right here, right now, on SI Media with Jimmy Traina. All right, joining me now from the NFL Network, top NFL insider. Everyone follows him to get the news. Ian Rappaport. Ian, how are you?
What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking, and thank you for doing this. I appreciate it. I figure this is a good week. I figure this week is better than last week, right, with the draft?
Yeah, last week was a little busy. This week is a little, I wouldn't say better, because the draft is amazing. Like, it really is a behemoth and a grind, but, like, my favorite thing that we do. It's so fun. So it was great. It was just, it's a lot. So, yeah, this week a little better.
It's funny, because I had Rich Eisen on last week, and I asked him what he enjoys more, doing the first night of the draft or Super Bowl Sunday, where you guys have like a 50-hour pregame show like all the other networks, and he said the draft as well. So for you, this is the highlight of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of it, right? Because, like, there's a lot of things we do that I enjoy. Super Bowl coverage, I love, but it's also, you know, sort of a grind to get there. And then, you know, you go through the game, which is always fun. But then, like, so much of the offseason is still out there. So, like, you get through Super Bowl and I'll go on, like, a week vacation. But then you got the combine, you got franchise tags, you got free agency. Like, it's still all ways in my mind. The draft is, like, you know, and free agency is wild and crazy and, like, a lot of fun. And we broke a lot of stories and it was great. But, like, you also get things that you didn't expect. There's also frustrations and it's tense and you don't sleep. sleep like 4 hours a night. Like, that's brutal. Fun, but brutal. And then the draft is the best, though, because you spend 3 weeks or a month putting together a puzzle. Like, I will literally go through my phone and call every single person related to football on my phone. Agent who has a player in the draft, at least in the first, like, three rounds. I'll call every team person, coach, coordinator, head coach, GM, personnel director, scouting director, everyone. And I will, like, start the process of putting the puzzle together. But, like, you still don't really know, right? But then you get to the draft and, like, it's fast and it's wild and it all plays out in front of you and all your questions get answered. And the trades are so fun, especially if you can get one, which, like, I had the trade from Texans going to three, which was so much fun and insane. So anyway, it's a lot to look forward to. And then when you get done, the offseason begins, and that's fun too.
So break this down for me, because I'm curious, because you said during free agency you were getting 4 hours of sleep a night. What part of the season do you get the least amount of sleep and you're putting in the most? Is it free agency? Is it Super Bowl week? Is it what's the most hectic week of the entire year for you?
I mean, free agency is the craziest because, like, you know, you gear up for it and you get ready and you try to get prepared. But, like, you know, I'll go to bed Saturday night being like, all right, there's a chance I'm going to sleep probably 4 hours a night, maybe for the next six nights. And that's usually what happens because, you know, you wake up Sunday and, like, there's important things that are you're waiting on, but then there's also, like, trades, and, like, Jalen Ramsey got traded, I think on the Sunday before free agency. It was Jalen Ramsey, it was Daron Payne getting an extension along with some other stuff. And then free agency, like, my phone's on loud. You basically from, like, five of them, I'm on the Peloton by, like, 5:15 on Monday through Friday that week, and you're sleep at, like, maybe midnight if you're lucky, but not always because stuff's still going on the West Coast. And then you don't know if you get woken up from a, you know, a text in the middle of the night. Whereas, like, you know, during the season, I'm up for Good Morning Football 3 days a week and then up early for game day morning on Sunday. So, like, four early wake ups. So, like, I don't sleep a lot during the regular season either, but at least it's regular. So at least I can kind of plan for that. You know what I mean?
Craziest middle of the night text you've ever gotten.
There's been a bunch of them. Let's see. Allen Robinson got a deal at 2 a.m. a couple years ago.
I would choose sleep over breaking Allen Robinson.
That was a big deal at the time. He was a top receiver going from, I think, Jaguars to the Bears. That was a big deal.
That's a stretch.
Bruce Arians, Mark Trestman got hired by the Bears at 2:30 a.m. because I got a call that Bruce Arians had not gotten in and Trestman was the other candidate. And that was at 2 a.m. I got a call that I missed because someone texted me instead of called me, which I'm still annoyed about Trent Williams signing his huge contract extension two off seasons ago, which actually taught me a really important lesson. Because from that point, when I have someone I'm expecting a call from, I'll change their text tone to ring. So even if they text me, it rings like a phone call. Because, like, that was the deal that I've been waiting on. I knew it was done. Person was like, it's probably not going to get done tonight, but keep your ringer on. And I did, but they texted and didn't call. So I learned a good lesson during that one.
Do you ever shut your phone off?
Mm-mm. Way too stressful. Way too stressful.
What happens if you have to do a system update? You must be screwed.
No, it's not a big deal. I just have my iPad or computer in front of me. They're all synced together. So if I get a call, it comes to my iPad or my computer and it's fine.
Okay. So you keep doing all the updates that Apple sends out. All right.
Well, you do all the updates in the middle of the night where you're probably not going to get a call unless it's free agency, and then you may.
Right. We've talked about the busiest time. Give me is there 1 week of the calendar year where you can relax? Everything's completely dead. You don't have to worry about any bombs going off. Everything is quiet. No, like, is it July, August, February? Is there 1 week where you can relax in the calendar year?
I mean, after the draft, it changes dramatically. Like, you know, today is a deadline for fifth-year options, which a lot of them happened yesterday. Not a big deal. But, like, the rest of this week, there'll be a couple things, but not really. You know, the main thing now is, like, I have two awesome dudes I work with, Mike Garofolo and Tom Pelissero. Like, I'm off this week after Monday. We're going to the Kentucky Derby on Thursday. Our horse is running. Very exciting. And I can really just relax. Like once the draft ends, the week changes dramatically. And it's not like I can ever put my phone down because I would never do that. It's way too stressful. But, you know, like I played golf this morning. Like there'll be a lot of golf in May and June, you know?
Yeah. You said we have a horse. Who has a horse? Who's in on the horse?
Well, as part of it's called Stake in Stardom. It's something, it's sort of a promotion or whatever done by America's Best Racing. So my wife and I have a piece of a horse, small minority ownership stake, in a horse named Jace's Road, which is running in the Kentucky Derby.
Nice. Good luck.
Thanks. It's very exciting. We have to watch from the track because if he wins, then we have to go to the winner's circle, which, you know, probably not going to happen, but I don't know. You never know.
So like the horse wins, you're in the winner's circle and then your phone, you get a text on your phone that says Tom Brady's coming out of retirement. What do?
Put my AirPods in and tell someone to speak really loudly. It's funny. Like you think that's, and I know you're kidding, but like it's going to be a joke, but like something like that could definitely happen. Like there were times like we went to Saratoga last year with like a bunch of our friends and there was a big trade that didn't happen for another 6 months, but that I thought was going to happen. And so like, we're hanging out and we're having some drinks and it's, you know, late August. So nothing's going to happen except like I had to just sort of hold my phone and just to make sure that if something happens that I'll be ready. And so like, it's, you know, one great thing about phones and Twitter is like, you could sort of do it from anywhere. So like, let's say that did happen. I would send the tweet. I'd probably send a couple follow-up tweets and I would get to a place where I could do a FaceTime with NFL Network. And that would be that. Like, it's actually almost less stressful now that you could sort of do anything from anywhere.
Right. Right. I want to get back to the draft for a couple of minutes here and then we'll get to some other things. The draft getting a big TV rating, it doesn't surprise me. The NFL runs this country basically, so I'm not surprised. What does surprise me a little bit, and maybe I'm an idiot for being surprised by this, and if I am, please just say, Jimmy, you're an idiot.
Sure.
Over 300,000 people showing up in person in Kansas City.
Yeah.
That to me is way more impressive than the TV rating, because like I said, the NFL is going to get good TV ratings for anything no matter what. But like, I don't know, you're a fan of, I don't know, the Raiders, the Vikings, the Seahawks, and you're sitting there with 300,000 people for what? I don't understand, but I assume it's more for the, I mean, you were there, so you can tell me, like, is it just a party atmosphere the entire time?
Yeah. I mean, I actually think about this a lot because, like, I love football. Like, I love football. But on a Saturday, like, would I go sit for day three when you don't really know anyone? You know, of course you'd be like, well, no, that's ridiculous. On the other hand, if it's, like, it's a nice day, and it was, like, it was beautiful the whole week. And, you know, if I were to, like, hey, you guys want to go get a cooler of beers or buy some beers there and just hang out and watch someone – watch the draft and a bunch of silliness and just hang out and eat food, I'd be like, yeah, that sounds like anything I would like. So like, it's kind of strange, but like on the other hand, like I've done dumber things. I've seen, you know, like I'll go to dumber live events. It's fun, you know? I will also say this, you know, I could see a little of it on TV. Like I spent a lot of it working obviously, but I have a monitor. It looked so cool on TV. Like,
yeah.
And obviously, like, where I work is where I work. But, like, it was a great idea to turn this from, like, a reading of the names inside in a theater to, like, a sprawling extravaganza where it's literally, like, it's like going to a jazz fest or something. It's like going to a live show. And then they actually do have a live show. I saw Motley Crue after, which was good. But, like, it really is it really turned into, like, a festival, which is very cool.
How many songs did Motley Crue do?
I think they did 6.
All right. It's pretty good.
I mean, it was, you know, Tommy did Home Sweet Home from the middle of a fountain. Like, that was cool.
Okay,
I saw him in Birmingham like 10 years ago, you know, 10 years younger, or 15 years ago, 15 younger, 15 years younger, but still Motley Crue. So.
Yeah, yeah. We've seen the draft evolve over the years. Obviously, it used to be Saturday and Sunday. They moved it to primetime. Then they moved it out of Radio City. Now, it's like we said, it's this big outdoor gathering. Do you think there'll be any other changes? Like, what could change? Is there anything you've ever heard the NFL talk about tweaking with the draft? Or is this going to be it for a while now?
You know, I wonder if at some point it gets back to Radio City for a year as sort of like a celebration of what it was. Yep. And then, you know, you could do Times Square theoretically, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if it would feel the same. I hate to say this, but I don't know if it would feel the same being indoors now, because it's such a massive thing outdoors. But I could see maybe a year in Radio City. I wonder if at some point they do it in a stadium, like they did it in Dallas, like in a stadium. Like, would that be? I don't know if that'd be better or worse.
Right.
But I don't know. Like, it's been such a good formula, you know. Like, and they even, you know, so they kind of blended what we did with COVID, where it's like you have 16 or so guys in person, and then you have another like many, many remote viewing parties. So like you get to sort of get in touch with a lot of prospects and see that moment. Like, there's, I don't know where it's going to go, but I like the drama of it. And I will say this year, as someone covering it, it was difficult because I thought the Texans were taking CJ Stroud at 2, and like every week I would go on Pat McAfee's show and talk about it, and they would be like, everyone's saying you're wrong. And I'm like, I don't know, but that's what I'm hearing. But it was such secrecy and such drama that like they take Stroud at 2, they trade up to 3. Like, it was more intrigue in a draft than I can remember in a long time. And though it's a little bit frustrating as a reporter who wants to know everything, it turned out incredible.
Yeah, it did. I like when we don't know. I don't want to know who the second, third, you know, the first pick you usually always know, but it's much better if you don't know. Do you hear from the league in terms of tipping picks on Twitter?
I'm not allowed to.
Now, does that come from the NFL Network or Roger Goodell in the league?
I mean, I hear it from NFL Network, and Schefter hears it from ESPN.
Right.
I assume it comes from the league, but I've never really asked because I am not a fan of tipping picks. Like, if it was, you know, if your competitors are doing something, you sort of have to.
Right.
But I'm happy with ESPN and us not tipping picks, because you should be able to, if you want, watch the broadcast to be surprised. And I don't like, look, like, could I tip the picks? Like, obviously, it's not, just being real, like, it's not that difficult. Have someone text you from the room, like, hey, we're picking this guy, you know? Once you make the call, it sort of doesn't matter. So it's, as like a vanity thing, I think it'd be okay for a reporter, but like, it's a TV show. Like, watch the show.
You know, what did, like, you make?
I'm gonna play out.
What did you make of Shams, who covers the NBA, tweeting picks way before they were announced?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he knows how. Shams is my guy. Shams is my guy. We talked this morning, actually. He texted me, you know. But it's, you know, I'm not a fan of it, which I told him. But
I think he stopped, right? He got one wrong and then stopped.
But, you know, it's fine. I mean, look, I mean, if I got... I could say whatever I want. Like, if I got a basketball scoop, like, I would probably tweet it. You know, like, when I heard LeBron James was in Indianapolis to get his foot checked out when everyone was at the combine, like, I debated tweeting it. I didn't, but it's true. You know, like, so I don't know. I don't mind. I mean, Shams is great and he's done an awesome job. So, like, it's fine.
Okay. That was a nice way of saying your friend shouldn't have done it.
But, you know, I
think it was just a strange. See, like, for me, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm in the business, I cover media. It wasn't that he was tipping the picks. It's like, well, why is an NBA guy doing this? That's what it was for me.
So. Yeah, I mean, he was just doing it for fun. But, you know,
it's
fine. I mean, again, like, if I had some like random NBA news, I think Schefter's done that with some like random NBA news. Yeah. Like, I would probably do it. Or if I got like, you know, a Mets signing. You know, like some big Mets trade, like I would probably do that.
I liked him doing it just for sort of like, you know, the stirring the pot. I mean, believe me, there were many, 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 many people in media being like, what the fuck is this? Like, people couldn't, you know, I mean, you have the NBA guy tweeting the NFL draft. So it was
fun. Yeah. But, you know, it stopped pretty quickly. So whatever.
Yeah. Okay, you're not allowed to tip picks, and I'm sure you're not allowed to give us anything on this subject, but I'm going to ask anyway, because of the days I love the most is next week, which is the schedule release for the NFL.
Oh, they don't tell me.
They don't tell you anything.
Anything.
Ever. Like, you don't tell me you find out when the NFL Network is announcing it at 8 o'clock at night. Well, it's all over Twitter that day, pretty much, but...
Yeah, I mean, maybe sometimes I'll find it earlier, but like they do not tell me. It is very secretive.
Well, I wouldn't. I know. Listen, if you knew, you couldn't tell me. So I'm glad you don't know. But as an NFL expert, the top insider here, do you have any sort of like what you think they would do for the opening game, what you think they would do for the first Jet game, and what you think they do for Thanksgiving?
Okay. I don't know.
Right.
Obviously, it's going to be Chiefs at home. Right. I'd have to look at their schedule.
Now, the Jets play the Chiefs, if I'm not mistaken. Would they?
Right. So this is like not me reporting, right?
Right.
This is just me. I wonder if they would save that for like a massive 4 p.m. in the middle of October or November or something, or if they would save that for a Sunday night. Because like, so many people are going to watch the opener anyway. It's ridiculous. They're like, you don't need that one for the opener.
I just want to follow up on that, because that's one of the things I've learned over the years covering this, and I want fans and people listening to know this, because a lot of times you'll see a game and you're like, well, why didn't they do that game? Why didn't they do that game? And the NFL philosophy is what you just said. The games that, again, you know, Thanksgiving is going to get the best ratings of the year, the best ratings of the year on television, no matter what teams are playing. So don't blow everything by putting the best game there. Save that for, you know, regular Sunday. Yeah. That's the thinking, what Ian just said there. And I, you know, because I used to say, oh, why would they put this crappy team against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving? It's because everyone's going to watch it no matter what. So that's sort of the NFL philosophy. So that's why you may not see Aaron Rodgers' first game as a Jet against the Chiefs on opening night. Right. So I just wanted to throw that in there.
Let me see who the Chiefs are playing. Hang on.
Yep.
It's funny because, like, you know, people say, like, take it one game at a time. Like, I literally don't look at the schedule because, everyone will play who they'll play, but I'm more focused on the news anyway. So, like, there actually are times when you get to, like, a Thursday of a game week and I'm like, who are these guys playing? It's just my brain. Well,
you look up the Chiefs and I'll say this. The NFL and the networks are very lucky, not just that Aaron Rodgers ended up in the Jets, but the Jets this year play the NFC East. So you'll have Jets Cowboys, Jets Giants, Jets Eagles, and they play, I think, the AFC West. So you have all those teams there. That's brutal. And then, of course, obviously you have the AFC East.
All right, so let's see. So the Chiefs, their home opponents, they got the Bills, the Bengals, the Eagles, the Chargers. I mean, those are some good choices.
Any one of those. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know who they would pick, but like, I'm going to be watching, you know? Yeah. And then, you know, the Rodgers thing, like, my guess is he'll have one of the prime spots. I don't know this, but like Sunday night, Monday night, like Big Fork, like it'll be, his debut will be something where everybody can watch, I assume.
Which will piss CBS off, which will be interesting. Because, you know, CBS would want that for 425.
Could be that.
Everyone, a lot of mouths.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. And then there's also the Black Friday game this year.
Genius.
You know, I've heard people say, I don't think this will happen, but obviously you would know this way better than me. I mean, I've heard people say, like, don't be surprised, the Tuesday game, Wednesday game. I don't know if we'd ever go there. I mean, we're not having Friday games. It's just one Friday on Black Friday. You think the NFL is thinking about expanding into other days?
You know, I would be a little surprised.
Yeah.
Just logistically, like, it will be hard. Players' bodies need time to rejuvenate. And, you know, people like schedules. I don't know who that benefits. Plus, I do think there's something to be said for, like, the small windows of time when we don't have football. That said, like, I can say all that. But, like, during COVID, like, everything was bad. you know, like mentally it was a disaster and like couldn't go anywhere. It all sucked. And I'd be like, wow, Wednesday night football. Like, let's go. Tuesday, like I'm watching, you know, it was like the biggest treat.
Tuesday, 4 o'clock. It was Steelers and Commanders. It was so beautiful.
I watched all of it. It was amazing.
Yeah, of course.
So like I could say what I want, but like you put a game on like middle of the night, like I'm probably like, oh, I'll just set my alarm.
Does seem like the players though. I mean, the players hate Thursday night already. So I don't know if they would.
I don't know if I know that's what everybody thinks. Cause there's always a couple people vocal on Twitter about it. I'm not so sure about that. Cause they like the mini buy. They like the mini buy. And like, you know, you don't practice that week. So it's all walkthrough. It's obviously hard to get up for, but like you get the long weekend off. Like they like that too.
Well, since you mentioned the buy, where do you think we are? You think, you know, 3 years, 10 years, we ever get where it's two buys, season adds an extra week, Super Bowl played on President's Day. Like that's, everyone's been waiting for that for so many years.
Yeah. And have the national holiday after Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I would not say never, you know, like if you told me in the right circumstance that would work, like, I don't know that it's coming.
Right.
The reporters who do this for a living would be like that thrilled since that's like a prime vacation spot. But
interesting.
My brain.
But then, but they'd get two buys during the season.
But we don't get a buy.
You don't get a buy, right? Yeah, we need the news.
Yeah,
we've meant. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say. So I would say never say never, but I don't know that anything like that is imminent.
Right.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We've mentioned Aaron Rodgers a few times during the pod. What is your relationship, if any, with Aaron?
We don't really have much of a relationship. I've met him a few times. I had one very memorable interaction with him.
Please share.
All right. I don't think I've ever told this story. So
aggregates, get ready. Everyone who aggregates, get ready.
No, it wasn't bad. It was good. So I just started NFL Network. I'd been there 5 months, something like that. And I was, you know, nobody. And I get sent to the Tahoe golf tournament, which, you know, at some point I hope to now play in. But back then, I was just there, and they gave me a camera, you know, with a crew, and we're like, see if you can get some one-on-ones. So I'm there all day, and, like, you know, I'm asking, like, you know, Jerry Rice and, like, whoever, you know, and all the, you know, any famous ex-athlete is there, and it's like, hey, I'm busy, I'm playing, whatever, sorry. And then I see Rodgers, and I'm like, ugh, no way. I'm like, hey, Aaron, I'm Ian Rapoport from NFL Network. I know you're practicing putting or whatever, but do you mind just giving me a couple minutes? And he kind of looks at me and goes, yeah, I'll throw you a bone. And I was like, wait, what? And I'd just been turned down by like six different people. He's like, where's your crew? And I'm like, come over. And like, we talked for 5 minutes. It was a great one-on-one. He answered a question about his contract at that point, which was like somewhat newsworthy. But I've sort of never forgotten the gesture of him. Could have easily said no, like six other people, and was like, this nobody reporter, like, I will do this interview, this like one-on-one interview for 5 minutes. I've never forgotten that. It's like funny. It's like all this stuff. And obviously, like, you know, there's a million different Rodgers things, but like, yeah. I've never forgotten him being like, you know what? I will help you out.
Okay. So that's interesting that you tell that story, because the reason I brought it up is because he famously went on McAfee, mm-hmm. and had some things to say about you and Schefter. The quote was that he said he has no problem with either of you and you're both good at your jobs. But then he said, quote, when it comes to me, they don't know shit, end quote. And then there was the famous story of him telling Schefter to lose his number. So you have not had any of that. He hasn't told you to lose his number. Do you have his number?
I do have his number, but I don't mind any of that, just being totally honest. Like, I really don't. Like, we all spend so much time on TV critiquing and analyzing football stuff, personal stuff. God, like, literally every part of it. And, like, we do it for hours on podcasts and radio and TV and everything. So, like, when he gets a microphone, like, he's sort of allowed to say whatever he wants, as far as I'm concerned. Like, I don't really take offense to that. There's nothing offensive in there anyway.
No.
Like, I feel like I know plenty about him, and I've broken plenty of stories about him. And I don't mind. Like, because if we're going to ask for access from these guys and we're going to want them to be honest, we got to accept what they say. And, like, so if he, you know, like, he doesn't want to be reported on the way he's been reported on, like, one, like, okay. Two, like, he's allowed to respond to it. And I didn't take offense to that. I would rather have an open line of communication and have someone be honest with me. Like, if I was talking to him one-on-one and he said that to me to my face, I would actually appreciate it rather than the opposite. So at least we could talk on like a regular human level, you know?
Right. Well, I thought the hit you took was a little unfair, just because I think you had reported like a specific day he was going into the darkness, but it was a different day. And it's like, who cares what day it is? He's going in. What difference does it make if he goes in on Monday or Thursday? Like, what? Who cares?
Well, I was told he was going in Monday to Thursday, and he went in next Monday to Thursday.
Right.
So I was wrong.
So you have his number. Have you ever been tempted to text him to confirm a story?
If there was something that I couldn't get otherwise and needed to, I would. But I don't think he would do it anyway.
See, I feel like you should have texted him after he told Schefter to lose his number, because you could be like, okay, you don't want to deal with Schefter. How about you and I? You give me all the scoops here.
That would have been funny had I thought of it at the time, and I'm a little jealous that I didn't think of it. Maybe there'll be another
one. I'll text you next time with the idea.
There you go. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Where do, like, you, Schefter, Glazer, do you guys ever communicate? Do you, like, before the draft, do you say, like, good luck, or there's no communication with you guys?
I would. I mean, I saw him before the draft last year, wished him luck. He said the same. Like, I saw him on the plane this year after the draft. It's totally fine and cordial. You know, like, it's – I mean, I know there's – you know, we're obviously compete extremely hard for a lot of the same information, but I never really got the sense it was like a personal thing. And like,
well, it's not really. I mean,
it's not. Yeah. And like, you know, I'm sure when I was younger, there were things that I would say to sources, but like, it all gets back to everyone. Like, I hear when people say stuff about me.
Yeah.
And at some point, like, I stopped. I don't know. Like, it's like you stop it stop being personal. And it's just like what you do for a living that you work extremely hard at, and you want to break every story, but sometimes they get you and that's okay. And sometimes you get them and that's okay too. So like, it's, I would say our relationship, like we're not close, but right. it's,
you're really, not enemies.
I think it's pretty respectful and professional. And I would say this, the same thing I always say, my job does not exist without him basically creating it. So like, I always think of that.
Yeah. It is. Do you find it, you know, given that you're in the media, do you find it weird that there are people out there like me and other media people and fans who like, they think there's like a Schefter Rappaport feud. There's a Shams Woj feud. Like, it, you know, it's sort of a, I mean, you are competitors, but we, I guess we try to make it into something more nefarious than it is.
That's okay. I mean, yeah. I'm fine that people think that, because like people think teams hate each other too. Like, right. You know, like obviously the, you know, Giants and Cowboys or Eagles and Cowboys hate each other, whatever it is. But then like you see the players after the game and they're like jersey swapping and you're like,
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, yeah. You know, you can compete as absolutely hard as possible and then still like shake the person's hand and take a picture with them afterward. Like that's all totally fine. Yeah. And that's, I feel like that's kind of where we're at.
Do you get into the Shams versus Woj stuff?
I enjoy it as a fan.
See, there you go. I rest my case.
No, I really do. Like, I hate to say this, but like when there's a basketball story and it's big, I always will look and be like, who broke what?
Right. Or
what I'll also do is like, you know, you'll see what someone else said about something, when they had it, did they have the terms? Did they do like closing in on, you know, like how did it all break down? Was someone like kind of negative? So it's like, all right, this person's going to get that. Like, I like the inner workings of it because I can sort of tell because a lot of it's like our world. So I like to like analyze it as much as anything, you know?
This is a ridiculous question. I don't know if you want to answer it, but I'll throw it out there. There are times where you and Schefter will break the same story at the same, it doesn't have to be big or so, it could just be, you know, this guy's re-signing for 2 years or this coach, where you will break it at the same exact time on Twitter. Do you ever have a source, whether it's a GM, an agent, whoever it is, text the two of you on the same thread, like a group text with the same information?
Rarely. I mean, I think they would know that would be weird. But
yeah.
It does happen a lot where someone goes bang, bang and hits both of us or, you know, calls one, calls the other, or like, you know, what probably happens just as much is like, let's say it's a team and an agent. One will call me, one will call him.
Yeah.
That happens a lot too.
Okay.
And sometimes they'll discuss it, which I then find out later. I'm like, oh, that's how that happened. Interesting. You know?
It's a fascinating world. I want to just
in it. That's kind of a new phenomenon. I was not used to that, but people are definitely.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. I want to ask you two football questions about teams. Actually, one team I feel like it doesn't get the headlines anymore because Brady's not there, and now they've fallen is the Patriots, which I think to me is one of the most fascinating things to see in the NFL. What's happened, because no one in history of sports has run a tighter ship than Bill Belichick. And we saw that sort of crumble last year, because now there's all these stories about him and Mac Jones and the team's been bad. And you're seeing more and more stories about what Belichick's record is without Brady. And Belichick is up there. I mean, he's in his 70s. Do you have any insight into the pay? I'm curious about, is Bill a lifer? Is Bill doing this till Bob Kraft pushes him out? And what do you make of sort of what's gone on with the Patriots the last couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, I do not think he's a lifer. I mean, I know he does this a lot. He's 70 and he's still a football coach. But he does other things that he's extremely interested in. Like he, you know, goes out to, you know, Nantucket or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Boat. He's into horse racing. Plays golf. Like he does other things that make me think that at some point he will step away and be totally fine. The all-time wins record, I think he's either one or two seasons away. So like my guess is that he's a, you know, true football historian, like really like one of the like nation's great football historians.
Yeah.
And so I think that would probably mean something to him. After that, maybe that's it. I don't know. I thought about it, you know, and then this year it was interesting that they went out of their way to keep Gerard Mayo. And then when Robert Kraft was asked at the owners meeting, you know, what about it? He said, well, we hope he's here for a very long time. I was kind of like, like, that's interesting. So maybe something in there, but you know, it's going to go how it always does with Bill, which is usually the way he wants at a time when he wants in the way he wants.
Right. Were you surprised though, that there were so many leaks about him and Mac Jones and frustrated that, you know, the team not liking Mac Jones and the team wanting, I forgot his name. The other quarterback. Zappe. Yeah. Zappe. Cause that never happened usually with the Patriots.
No, but there's rarely controversy with the Patriots either.
That's true.
Now, there were, believe me, like there were plenty of stories to chew on when I was a beat writer there and when I was covered pretty heavily. It felt a little different last year, but a lot of things were different last year. You know, it was like staff was different. It wasn't, you know, obviously it wasn't up to the level that it needed to be just based on their record. I was a little surprised in the real leaks. I don't know how much of those were true, honestly, because it's hard to get leaks out of that building. So when you have third party passing along information and everybody kind of wants to pile on, sometimes there's not the accuracy that you really would like. But I mean, I would expect this year to be very much different if that's what you're wondering.
Yeah. And one thing on Rodgers, we heard this, but I just want to get it confirmed. Did the Packers make it clear like they would not trade him in the NFC? Was that a real thing?
I think they would not have wanted to. They definitely didn't want to. But had he said, I will only go to the...
Well, the reason I ask is the Niners. Like, it seemed like the Niners should have made a play there.
I don't know. Like, I kind of think the Niners are happy where they are. You know, I mean, if Brock Purdy's healthy, they got a more than adequate quarterback, or maybe a lot more, on the cheapest deal you could possibly get. Literally the cheapest deal you could get. I think they're happy at quarterback. Like, you know, if Rodgers said, like, I only want to go to the 49ers, I don't know. I don't know. He's very expensive.
Yeah. Couple of things here before we wrap up. I'm just curious. What is your all-time favorite scoop or story that you broke? Based on either whether the magnitude of the story or how you broke it or when you broke it or anything like that. But give me this one where you did it and you pumped your fist.
Oh, that happens all the time. I mean, I get asked this a lot. And the one I always say is I was doing draft calls, you know, calling everyone on my phone. And it's like April 18th or something like that. And I'm finishing up a call and this guy says to me, hey, you're on this Gronk stuff, right? And I'm like, what Gronk stuff? He goes, you know, the Gronk stuff. And I'm like, no, I don't know what you mean. And at this point, Gronk was retired. And we were all wondering, like, was he going to come back? He'd been retired a year. And I'm like, no. He goes, well, you need to check on it. And I'm like, check on what? He goes, Gronk to the Bucks. And I'm like, Gronk's getting traded to the Bucks? He's like, you should make some calls. And I'm like, oh, my God. Hang up the phone, called three people, all involved in it, all confirmed it, tweeted it within literally from 0 to 6 minutes. And it was like on a sleepy like Tuesday or Monday or something like that. And it was just like a bombshell. And from something I literally hadn't heard of to 6 minutes and we're on the air talking about it, major breaking news, seeing Twitter. And, you know, that had been like a big topic for more than a year. When was Gronk going to come back? Mm-hmm. You know, that was always up there. Two might have happened this weekend. I mean, the Texans trade to number 3, which was like, you know, the biggest bomb of the draft, you know, to get that and then be able to do it on TV. Like, I was joking with my producer afterwards. Like, he was like, I could tell how excited you were by, you know, how you were acting. So I knew I had to get you on TV as fast as possible. Like, that was a really fun one. And then the Lamar Jackson, you know, getting the Lamar Jackson contract extension right before the draft. You know, that had been a big story for more than a year. And being able to finally say, like, they've agreed to terms, the deal is done, our national nightmare is over.
I felt like that one came out of nowhere just from the standpoint of, like, because it was draft week, he was sort of, like, out of – out of our minds for a little bit there. When I saw that one, I was like, ooh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
The way it had worked for me was when Jalen Hurts' contract got done, I was told the Ravens are going to make an offer to Lamar, and it's going to be so good, they don't think he can turn it down. So I'm like, all right. So in my head, I'm like, the Lamar Jackson contract extension could be coming. The Jalen Hurts deal laid a good blueprint. If he gets more with the right metrics, you know, that actually might work. So I knew it was possible. And then I started hearing rumors before the draft, like something is going on. And that was the rumor. Something is going on. So I just made a bunch of phone calls and was able to get it. And it was very, very fun to deliver that news. Very fun.
I got to ask you about the flip side. Is there okay. one you've gotten wrong where like you were twisting and turning all night and you couldn't sleep and you were beating yourself up over?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Getting beat is something that, you know, I mean, getting wrong is the worst, but getting beat is second worst. There's a lot of them where I've was, you know,
thought wrong is way worse than getting beat.
Wrong is way worse.
Yeah. Especially but we all get stuff wrong. I mean, you're not going to be in this business and not get something wrong.
Right. So, the story that always comes to mind, there's not a lot of examples, thankfully, but the one that comes to mind for me was, it was like 4 years ago during free agency, like 11 o'clock at night. And everybody was wondering, where were the Steelers going to trade Antonio Brown? And I get the scoop. The Steelers and Bills are close on a deal. And they had agreed on compensation. And I knew what the compensation was. It was swapping first round picks and then a little bit extra. So I was like, good on all of it. So I report the Steelers and Bills are close to a deal to send Antonio Brown to Buffalo. And then I used an exclamatory phrase, something like there it is or something like that, which was true. What I didn't know at the time was that Antonio Brown had talks about a long-term extension with the Bills, and I didn't know if they were going to be able to come to terms. And that was the most important part of it. And instead of me being like, take a deep breath, call Buffalo, call Drew Rosenhaus, call people at the Steelers, make sure everyone is – make sure this is going to happen. Because when I say close to, or Schefter or Glazer or literally anyone, Shams, whoever, when we say close to a deal, like that deal better happen.
Right.
That deal better happen.
Right.
And so at 3 a.m, talks broke down and the deal was off. And, you know, Bills put out a statement in the morning like, yes, we discussed a deal with Antonio Brown, but we are moving in separate ways. We wish him luck. And it was bad. And I talked to Bill's people in the morning and it was not pretty and they're mad. And it changed the way I reported. It literally changed the way I did everything because what's annoying is like, first I was like, well, I was right. And it's like, well, nobody cares.
Right.
In the end,
if he's not on the Bills, that's all people care about.
Right. If he's not on the Bills, it's wrong.
Right.
I mean, I could say whatever I want to make myself feel better. If he's not on the Bills, the story was not correct.
Right.
So, but it changed the way I did things because now, like, even if I have two sources, you have to have all sides covered and you have to have all bases covered. So if two people are doing a trade, but a guy needs a new contract because of it, like, you better make sure that guy's getting a contract. And so, like, it really forced me to be much more conscientious. And I'm sure that there are stories that I have lost on because I've waited just to make sure that this is happening or this guy passes physical or whatever, but that's all fine because the alternative is way worse.
Right, right. Before I let you go, I'm just curious because I enjoy you on McAfee and we mentioned, it's funny because I mean, this is the genius of Pat McAfee. He'll have you on there and then Rogers is on there bashing you and you're both on his show and it's, you know, it's the state of media that we're in. How did it come about that you like became a regular there and you seem to really enjoy your appearances on McAfee? It's fun.
I feel like I'm just hanging out with a bunch of friends.
Yeah.
Like I know it's work, but I like look forward to it. Like it's really, truly fun.
Yeah. You know? How did it come about? Like, did it just happen organically where you became a regular there?
I mean, he asked me to come on. I think probably it was like 2 years ago at this point. And I came on and then he asked me a couple more times and, you know, it just kind of built up from there. And because I like doing it, I don't really say no. And then, you know, I went and hosted a show one time and, right. It was like seeing a bunch of my, and I hadn't seen a lot of those guys in person. It was like seeing my old friends, you know, like, cause I talked to him so often on TV. So like, you know, he's a genius and that show is amazing. And like, I'm, you know, I'm happy for all of his success because he created a absolute monster and one that is so fun. Like, he deserves all of this.
Yeah. It's funny, you know, not that ex players are sort of following in his path, but you are seeing, I mean, Brady's got his deal with Fox with who knows what's going to go on there. JJ Watt has said he would be interested in media. I'm sure Rodgers will go into media when he gets out of the game. But you know, you can't just do what he did. I'm curious to see if other players want to try to copy what he did, but you have to, I think what gets lost is how hard he works, but just,
yeah,
it, you know, and ex players, if you're Tom Brady, do you really want to work that hard? You don't have to, but I mean, we'll see what happens when he goes to Fox.
It's a lot of that. The same thing happens when players want to become coaches. So who was that did this? I think it was Kyle Shanahan. Mm-hmm. I feel like it was Kyle Shanahan who, when ex players will come to him and want position coach jobs, even if they're qualified, he has them be quality control guys first because the work is a lot. And you got to make sure that someone wants to do the work, even if they're good enough to be a position coach. You got to make sure someone wants to do the work first. And I'd say it's like that with TV. Like, that's one thing with Pat. Like, he's awesome because he works insanely hard. And I have no doubt spends all of his time thinking about stuff for the show.
Yeah.
That's the way, I mean, that's the way I am in my job. Like, that's the way it has to be.
Yeah. That comes across totally too. Yeah. I you know, they asked JJ Watt when he retired about coaching and he's like, no, I'm not doing all that work. So it's good to, you know.
Coaches have a hard life, man.
Yeah. All right. Before you go, are you working on any scoops? Is there anything that's going to come out in the next 24, 48 hours that from Ian Rappaport, anything good going on? We got, or is this now quiet time?
There's always stuff in the hopper. I always have stuff saved in my Twitter drafts just in case. but I'm hoping to play golf tomorrow and then go to the Kentucky Derby on Thursday. And I got great outfits picked out and my wife has great outfits picked out. So it should be a lot of fun.
Will you be on NFL Network for the schedule release? You part of that show?
Usually I'm not.
Okay.
I'm just cause there's like, it's no news to add.
Right.
So usually what I do is like, I'll go out to dinner and like, I'll watch cause it is really fun. But I'm usually not a part of it. I usually just hang out and watch.
Well, that's one where it would be like if the games weren't all released on Twitter that day, more people would watch the show, but there's no way to stop the leaks, I guess, because the teams have the schedules and then a lot of people have the schedule in the afternoon.
Well, so what they've started doing, they've started announcing little by little.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, I don't know that people wouldn't watch because like there's plenty of times when like we'll tweet out news and then the show after news will happen is still like highly rated.
No, I'm saying just more people would watch if it wasn't, you know, all on Twitter. I think they would. All right. Well, I appreciate you coming on. This was fun. And go do some more golfing here while it's a little quiet. And we'll see you down the road. Appreciate you coming on.
All right. Thank you for having me, man.
Thanks, Ian.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, joining me now after a week away from WFAN Radio in New York, SNY TV in New York, my buddy Sal Licata for our Train of Thoughts segment. Sal, how's it going?
Good to be back with you. How are you on this? Yeah. What the hell day is it? Tuesday here?
Early I missed May? You last week. There was something I wanted to get into last week, and then I couldn't. I forgot what it was, but I had some topics last week, but we couldn't get it together. So that's what it was. I had that's what it was. I didn't have flexibility with taping because my dad was in the hospital for a few days. He's good. Right. Everything's good. People don't have to treat me. So that's what it was. I think I had some stories about the hospital that I wanted to get into. The hospital is an experience. I mean, they now have phone chargers in the beds. Like the port for the charger is attached to the bed. And I'm like, every bed should come with this. Not just hospital beds. How does every bed not have a phone charger?
We actually have that, my wife and I. So it must have been, I don't know if you buy beds new that they have that now, but that is part of it.
With the, where the is the... whatever. Where is it? Like, where's the port to charge?
Good question. I honestly don't remember, but I know it's on the side of the mattress, and it's a pain in the neck because you have the frame, and you have to get your hand in there and, you know, plug the thing in, but then once you do it, it's fine. It comes out.
Got it. Yeah.
But
that's funny.
Yeah, until they change the USB port or whatever, or UBS port, whatever the hell it is.
Oh, yeah.
Then what? Would he get a new bed? I mean,
right? Yeah, they're due for a change because my laptop is a different plug than my phone, and you know,
right?
Good old Apple. Yeah, I had a couple of things, but I don't know. I got some stuff for this week. Nothing crazy. I want to start with this because I wanted to write about this, and I said if I write about this, it might get misinterpreted, and then I don't want to deal with the fallout. So it might be easier if I just explain it. But the thing from over the weekend, which I'm sure you saw, where ABC during the Knicks Heat game one, where they were going to break and they had some B-roll going and they used this footage from like 20 years ago with the Twin Towers in it. Don't tell me you don't know about this story.
No, I don't. I was at the game. So I did not see this. They used footage from...
They were going to break and they showed like, you know, New York City, video B-roll of New York City. And the footage they used was 20 something years old. And it had the Twin Towers in the background and it was on the screen for like, I don't know, 3 seconds. So, it's amazing. People notice it, goes crazy on Twitter and they issue the apology and it just, okay. And then, of course, there's this whole section of people who want whoever the person is responsible for that to be fired. And it's like, I just wish we can stop asking for people to be fired over an innocent mistake. No one got hurt. No one got hurt from this. No, there's no victims from this. It was a stupid thing. It was a mistake. They should have apologized. But can we not have people getting fired over mistake? Who at their job doesn't make a mistake? I don't understand.
It's a mistake. I have no problem. I would never say somebody should be fired because of that. Right. I'm just curious how that happens, because I guarantee you it's not one person. It's that has to get approved by multiple people, I would think. I don't know how that works, but I don't even know how that's even possible that would be in the system. Like somebody should say, hey, make sure it's a current shot of New York City. End of story.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's obviously some sort of breakdown there on how it happened. I mean, maybe because the Knicks haven't been relevant in 5,000 years. They don't have all this stuff ready to go, and I don't know, but they pulled the clip. You know, I don't know. Listen, why is someone
for
pulling
Nick Heat from, like, 99? Like, is that 97?
Exactly. Who knows? Why anyone's using video footage from 20 years ago? I don't know. I got it. But, like, someone made a mistake. Can we not right away? They have to be fired, and it's just – I hate it. I just hate it. It's ridiculous.
Agreed. I don't even pay attention to it, honestly, as you can tell, but it's ridiculous. It's not – like, where are people saying this? On social media?
Of course.
Yeah, so no one gives a fuck what happens on social media in the real world.
I just – but I agree with that 100%. I just –
it's taken me a while to learn that, but it is 100% true.
Well, who's the one who always told you that?
Well, you said it a long time ago, but the way that my boss – explained it to us just made sense, and it clicked. And I guess hearing it from him is different because he's a boss. So you would think, like,
so you don't take me seriously because I'm not your boss.
No, no offense. What he says matters. You want but the way he explained it was like made sense. And I was like, good. Well, if you feel like that, then why the fuck do I care what happens on social media? And I don't. Right.
Well, but and I agree with all that. The only thing I would say is where social media sometimes can end up having some results, which is what I hate about it, is if, you know, whatever, someone at ESPN or whatever is getting bombarded with thousands of tweets that this person should be fired, you know, then should be fired, then they take action.
Right.
And I
agree. Right.
And the issue is that these companies have to have, every company has to have the guts to not give in to whatever they're seeing from people on social media.
Correct. Yeah, that's you have to have the support of. Look,
Go ahead, you go.
No, I was gonna say it can't just be this outcry and this poor tape op or whatever the hell it is. Some intern that gets the B roll that, you know, is gonna get fired or whoever it is. Like, it shouldn't be that way. The job should be able to decide that on their own. Whoever
and
it
you
is.
And I get pissed. I get pissed even with the apology most of the time. I get because you're giving in to these people. Now this one here, I understand. Make an apology here. Obviously, the Twin Towers, it's a sensitive issue. So I don't have a problem. But, you know, even remember a couple of months ago, Tiger got in trouble because he was giving someone a tampon on the golf course and it became, and then he, why you, don't apologize. I was making a joke with one of my friends. It wasn't meant to be caught on camera. You know, that's it. You don't have to always apologize. This one here, I got the apology, but what I don't like is, you know, making it more than what it is. No one got it. Okay, they show the Twin Towers. Got it. I understand why it's
The reason why you have to apologize is I would think, especially in Tiger's case or whatever, and I don't know the whole story how that played out, but sponsorship. It's because the bottom line is money. And if a company feels like sponsors are gonna back out if they don't offer an apology or issue an apology, that's why you get it.
That's a good point.
It's all money.
That's a good point. In Tiger's case, though, he doesn't need a sponsorship. So he can say, leave me. I don't care. I don't think he's going to end up having to cut coupons if he loses a sponsor.
Right. That is true.
Yeah. The other one, too, over the weekend was the Bruins announcer, who used to be an ESPN SportsCenter anchor, Jack Edwards, when the Bruins lost. So the Bruins had, they have the most regular season wins in NHL history.
Yeah.
And they lost in the first round. And he said the loss was like the Hindenburg. And people got all offended by that. It's like, again, no one's getting hurt by these analogies. He's trying to be a little funny. Like, can everyone just relax? I thought it was funny.
See, that's why I didn't pay attention in social studies. I don't even know what the hell that reference means. It went right over my head.
More importantly, I don't know if you want to reveal this, but if you do, how much did you pay for Nick tickets?
Oh, God. They were, I want to say, $468 each.
So you bought two?
Yeah, I took my wife. So okay, two games went first round, game four, and then game one of this round.
All right, so let me ask you. When game one is over and the Knicks lose, is the only thing going through your head that you spent $900 to watch them lose?
No, I actually had a great time. Now, my wife was very upset because she went to game four in the first round, got into it, right? Very excited. And she's thinking, that's what it is. You pay a lot of money, you go to the Garden, you experience that great fun. I know better because I've been doing it for my whole life. That's part of the deal. Playoff pain is like no other. So she was upset. And like she said, quote, after the game, I don't want to go back anymore and spend that much money and see them lose. I was like, that's part of it. That makes the winning even more enjoyable. Once I spent it, I didn't care about it. It was a good experience. And I got great pleasure out of it. Not two reasons. One, because my Knicks, who you know we grew up loving in the 90s, are back and relevant, which is fun.
Right.
And two, because my wife got into it. So it was something that I love to do that I could spend some time with her. So I didn't even think twice about it.
That's a great way to cover it up right there. We spent $900 to watch them lose, but we got to spend time together.
Yeah, right. And well, you know what it is going to these games. It's, you know, there's high risk involved in that.
Yeah, that would make me sick. Are you into LeBron versus Steph Curry?
I don't want to say no. Put it this way. I'm into the result. I don't know how much into actually watching the series I'll be. I'm locked in on Knicks Heat for sure. And then I get the baseball. I got work. So it's hard to – if it's on and I got nothing else to do, I'll check it out. I'm into the result, but I can't make it a point to watch those games.
All right.
You?
I'm very into it. Yeah.
What about the Knicks? Are you care about the Knicks or no?
Okay. Yeah. I love seeing the city embrace the Knicks again. I love that the Knicks are back. I like that this is a very likable team. Like I didn't like that the Carmelo team. Like what team went to the playoffs? Like I wasn't into. But I mean, how do you not like Jalen Brunson? How do you not like the role players on the team? It's a very likable team.
How about the nostalgia, Knicks Heat, Van Gundy, 90s? You get into that aspect of it.
I mean, listen, you hear Knicks Heat, it takes you back to that time. But, I mean, it's so long ago, it's not really relevant to what's going on.
First of all, there were a lot of Heat fans at the Garden, which I couldn't believe. But
really?
And I happened to be surrounded by them. There were two like younger kids in front of me, maybe in their 20s, wearing a Butler jersey and a Tyler Herro shirt or whatever. And I'm thinking to myself, you little shits, you have no idea about that. Like, they're probably LeBron fans who became Heat fans. They don't know about the Knicks Heat. And then I realize I'm an old man. Like, the current players don't care about those old battles. Mm-hmm. A lot of younger fans don't know about it. But if you live through those 90s Knicks teams, Knicks Heat, that was no joke. I mean, that was a battle every single freaking year. For me, I mean, I love that stuff.
One thing I want the listeners to know is that Sal gets very, very concerned about what jerseys he sees in the arenas.
Yeah, it's why I don't have a voice. I had to protect the home court. Heat chants. Game one of the Garden? What?
Were there really?
Yes. Do you believe that?
No, I don't.
Audible. You could hear it. Let's go Heat chants in that third, fourth quarter.
Are you serious?
I could not believe it.
What's going on there? Well, because the prices are too high for the real fans, except for you.
Yeah, I tried to drown them out with my booze, and I don't know if I did it, but I definitely lost my voice a little bit. Terrible.
Did you make any comments to the people in the Butler and Tyler Herro jerseys?
I gave one sit the F down. I gave.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Please don't get kicked out of the Garden.
Please. I tried to protect the Garden. That's it.
Oh,
they were standing up cheering. I had to give them a sit the F down. That's it.
Oh, my God. What are we doing?
That was a tough loss. Yeah. No, it was all good, though.
Yeah.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans,
the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The ESPN announced today, we knew it was coming, but they announced a date. It's going to be in a month, next month. They're doing a Bill Walton four-part 30 for 30. I cannot wait for this. This is
good. Four parts?
Yeah.
Do we need four parts?
Well, if you think about it, he's one of the best college basketball players of all time. So I'm sure they're going to cover that. Then they'll cover the NBA and all his injuries. His career got derailed by injuries. Then you've got like his broadcasting post-playing career. So I could see how they get four parts out of this.
That's what I want. Part three and four. Broadcaster forward. Don't care about
I'm looking very forward to that next month. That will be one like I watch live. I don't want to.
No spoilers.
What else did I want to discuss? Oh, Draymond Green, after the Warriors beat the Kings, went on his podcast, and he was complaining that Sabonis didn't shake his hand after. I'm not an athlete. I've never been an athlete. I don't understand why you would care if someone doesn't shake your hand. It wouldn't bother me in any way, shape, or form.
Does he care because he feels like he gets a bad reputation? And then
I just think he feels disrespected.
Well, it is disrespectful, but why would you? I don't know. What do I give a shit? He shouldn't care. Why do we care about? Do people actually care about this?
No, people don't care. I'm just saying I'm fascinated that like after the game, he gets on his podcast and he's complaining that the other guy didn't shake his hand from the other team. who cares? Like yeah, this is what
it's petty.
Yeah.
Are you a Draymond guy or no?
I don't know. I waver on it. I think this is all very calculated by him. Like I think he's one of these guys that likes the attention and then acts like he doesn't like the attention.
Speaking of which, I'm sure they showed it on TV.
Yeah.
But Aaron Rodgers in the building both Saturday night at the Rangers game six and again Sunday afternoon, probably the loudest the building. And it was loud, don't get me wrong, but for Rodgers, it went nuts.
The loudest the building was when they showed Aaron Rodgers on the Jumbotron?
I would say that it was at least matched. Like, especially the first night when he was there with the Rangers, it was, I mean, by far the loudest I've ever heard a cheer for a celebrity. And I've gone to a ton of these games. They're always good cheers, but with Rodgers, it was...
Don't tell me on Sunday they cheered louder for Aaron Rodgers than Patrick Ewing.
Good point. I don't know about that. Ewing, there was a whole vignette. They played everything for him. I just know with Rodgers, the place went nuts. Specifically Saturday night, though. Yeah. Now, I don't know if that's just me because I saw him Saturday night, so I wasn't shocked to see him again Sunday. The Ewing thing was great. That's a good point.
Right.
But everybody was going nuts for Aaron Rodgers.
We're taping this on Tuesday night. He's going tonight, too. He said on McAfee today he's going to the Knicks game again tonight. And he said
really?
The Mets, and he said he wants to throw out a first pitch for the Yankees and Mets. The Mets have already asked him.
Now, why does he want to do the Yankees?
He's embracing all of New York.
I love it. I thought it was so cool, though, to see him. And the energy in that building, especially Saturday night, was unbelievable. I mean, the Garden for the Knicks was great, too. But, you know, obviously they lost the game, so it was a little different. But place when – because they show the video. You know how they do it, these teasers? And yeah. You never know. Even when they do it with an actor, right? There's two actors in the scene, and you don't know which one's going to be there. Well, they showed Rodgers, but it was Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh as well. Then they showed just a clip of Rodgers, and then they showed that it was him, and the place went freaking nuts.
I didn't know that's how they did it.
Yeah, like they'll do Celebrity Row or whatever and show like a clip of a movie scene. Like they had, you know, was there AJ, Tony
right,
Jr. From the,
right. Yeah, right. Robert Eiler. Right.
Yeah, yeah. He was there from The Sopranos. But whatever. They show a clip of whatever scene that these actors are in. So they did it with Rodgers, and people were like, oh, is it Joe Douglas? Is it going to be Robert Saleh? And boom, it was Rodgers, and it was like, went nuts.
It's so weird. I don't know. I mean, I get that the Jets have been an embarrassment and have never had a good quarterback. I get it. But I don't know. It's still weird to me. Maybe this has to do with my Yankee fandom, because I always, like, when you embrace the hired gun, I don't know. I'm still always partial to homegrown. Now listen, I'm partial to homegrown players. I'm not saying the Jet fans should reject Aaron Rodgers for Zach Wilson, obviously. I mean, you can't even compare the two. But I don't know. I always have a hard time embracing, I'm just thinking Yankees strictly. I have a hard time embracing free agents for a couple of years, maybe. Then, like, you know, it's the hired gun thing. I don't love it in any sport. So I don't know. But I get why the Jets fans would be all pumped up. I mean,
yeah,
you have a quarterback for the first time ever, basically. So
yeah, exactly. And this dude gets it, taking over the city like that. I love it. Oh, man, I couldn't get enough of him.
Well, it's the honeymoon stage.
Right.
If he loses week one, then...
By the way, did you see the report that there is... I didn't even know the Jets and Giants are playing each other.
Yeah.
I think it was Baldinger who said that it might be now the opener, week one, Monday night, Jets-Giants.
See, I had heard that CBS is fighting like hell. They want the Jets. They don't want to lose the Jets week one. They don't want to lose Rodgers' first game week one.
Okay. Well, I don't know. You would maybe know more than me. I just
No, no. But I'm sure ESPN's fighting like hell to get... I'm sure... Listen, they all are going to want Aaron Rodgers' first game as a Jet. Every network. Right. So it's a matter of... I don't know how the NFL is going to decide to...
I'd rather choose who they reward. Like, and I get it. His first game as a Jet. I don't want a Jets-Giants. There's no... that's not a real rivalry. Like, I don't know. I'd rather not that be the first.
So who would you want to see the Jets play week one?
I don't know. Yeah,
like
you
the
want
Dolphins?
To do a division? Yeah, you want to get into a division game. I think that's more. I mean, Jets-Giants is more of like, I don't know, an anomaly than anything else. It just doesn't happen very often. Yeah, they're two teams in New York. I don't know if that's the right. How about a conference opponent? Like the Packers? I mean, Jets won. I don't even know what their schedule is. But
no, they don't play the Packers. They play the NFC East. They play Giants, Eagles,
right.
Cowboys.
Okay. Yeah. Cowboys. I mean, you know, there's going to be plenty of big games. Somebody was saying that it might be Jets, Cowboys, Thanksgiving. Well, last year we had the Giants, Cowboys. Now maybe you get Jets, Cowboys on Thanksgiving.
I can't wait for the schedule to come out next week.
Is that next week already?
Yeah, next Thursday, I believe.
Nice.
All right, let me ask you this before I let you go. How have you held up without the blue check mark?
I knew you were going to ask this.
That's what I wanted to get into with you last week. Yeah.
It hasn't even crossed my mind. I feel liberated. Fuck that blue check mark. Take it and leave me alone. And you know what I do now? Anybody that I see in my mentions with a blue check mark, I ignore it because I know you paid for it just so I could see your comment. I don't even read it.
Well, you mean outside of light? Because you know he gave the blue check mark back to everybody who has more than 1 million followers.
No, I didn't even. I probably don't follow those people anyway.
Well, I'm just saying if The Rock tweets, he's going to have a blue check mark because he has more than 1 million followers. You're not going to ignore him.
So anybody over 1 million followers has the blue check mark.
Yes. And then the people who paid for it with Twitter blue.
Well, I was saying in my comments, not on Twitter.
Okay, I got it. Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I have to say, when this whole thing started about losing the blue check mark, and you asked me, you've poked me a couple of times saying like, are you going to pay for it? Are you going to pay for it? And I'm always like, no. And then in my head, I'm like, I wonder if like I would think about it. Because I think I've said, maybe I said to you, I don't know, we'll see. I don't know. Or I say, let me see how it goes. Maybe if everyone's buying it, maybe. I have to say, and this is the honest to God's truth, I have not spent 0.0001 second thinking about whether I should buy it or not.
Right.
The stupid thing is, when it first happened, people on Twitter were like, oh, the cheap people don't want to, if, you know, like the people who are like anti, the people who are Elon Musk fans, were like, why are celebrities cheap? Why won't people buy it? Blah, blah, blah. But it's like, but all you're just buying the checkmark, because even if you don't pay the $8 like you and I, you can still use the service. You're not paying for the service. All you're paying for is the check.
So, and what else does it do? Because I saw some other people who were trying to defend themselves buying it.
Well, you can post tweets that are longer than the 240 characters, and you could post videos that are longer than the 2 minutes they let you post.
Don't need to. Thank you.
They say there's other stuff. They say like what's the stupid phrase? Like, you get priority, I guess. Like, you know how they have that for you? I guess maybe they put you there more if you have the blue check. I don't know, but I don't check the for you, so I don't know. To me, like, there's literally nothing about Twitter that's different without the blue check for me. So why would I pay for it?
Me neither. Like I said, I haven't even noticed it. Haven't thought about it.
Yeah. So have you noticed like your mentions, are people same level of nastiness, more nastiness, less?
It's the same thing. I usually don't read them. So I still don't read the comments. I'll give you a good one. So
You've come a long way, baby.
I tweeted out after game two of the Rangers Devils. I thought the Devils were good. Laughed my ass off. Rangers are ready. Blah blah blah. Whatever. The boys are ready. Somebody told me today. I got to work and they joked around about the Rangers thing. I go, what I missed? They go, oh, it was a big deal on Twitter. Old takes exposed. Retweeted your tweet or something. And I was like, oh, I had no idea. So I didn't even see that. Meanwhile, I have them blocked. Somebody must have sent them a screenshot that they retweeted. But I had no idea until I got to work and somebody told me.
I would have alerted you, but I don't follow All Takes Exposed, so I didn't see it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. I figured you
would have been all over that. I'd be texting you all up. I didn't see it. I can't wait to go check now.
Right. Yeah.
That's funny. All right, Sal.
All right.
Enjoy the Knicks little run here. Hopefully they turn it around, and we'll see you next week.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye. All right, my thanks to Ian Rappaport and Sal Licata. Hope you enjoyed the episode. If you did, subscribe to the pod and leave a review on Apple. We'll read it next week. I think we'll read reviews. So subscribing, though, is very important. If you're not a subscriber, hit that subscribe button for SI Media with Jimmy Traina. And listen to recent episodes if you didn't catch any. Rich Eisen was on the show last week. Author, journalist, reporter Jim Miller 2 weeks ago. Jim Nance 3 weeks ago. Media reporter for the New York Post Andrew Marchand 4 weeks ago. So check those out in the archives. Subscribe, rate, and review. All right, that wraps it up for this week. We'll see you next week right here on SI Media with Jimmy Traina. Stay safe and take care.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.